Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. For many years, the Durham-based organization Democracy North Carolina has pursued research, organizing, and training to protect democracy in our state and promote citizen ownership of our government. Recently, however, the group's longtime executive director, Bob Hall, retired after a long and distinguished tenure, and many people were concerned about filling his formidable shoes. Fortunately, the Democracy North Carolina board was successful in persuading nationally recognized voting rights attorney Tomas Lopez to join the organization late in 2017. I sat down with Lopez to discuss his new job and some of the issues that are confronting him right off the bat.
Well, Tomas Lopez, welcome to News and Views. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you're now the new executive director for several weeks at Democracy North Carolina. Your predecessor, Bob Hall, as I'm sure you're well aware, was sort of a progressive icon in North Carolina. You got some big shoes to fill. He really turned MNC and Democracy NC into a national model. So tell us about how the heck you're going about trying to take on this very important and significant job.
Well, I think, as you said, Rob, I'm grateful not just to be here with you today, but to be at the leadership of an organization like Democracy North Carolina. There is so much work to build on, and there's so much work to build on that not only Bob did, but, you know, we have 18 full-time staff, and I think folks should understand that we're really active throughout the whole state of North Carolina. So we're based in Durham, but we have field offices in Charlotte, Asheville, Fayetteville, Greenville, and Winston-Salem.
Which is a little unusual for some of the progressive advocacy groups that are based in the Triangle, tend to be Triangle-focused. Y'all actually get
That's
out
right.
around the state.
That's right. And our model is built on a combination of advocacy, research, and organizing. We are doing work to be credible in the policy spaces, but more broadly, we are doing work to be credible in communities around the state.
I think folks would be interested to know that you've come from outside of North Carolina, maybe a little bit about your background.
That's right. I mean, you could probably tell from hearing me speak that I'm not from around here. I was born and raised in the Bronx, New York. Mm-hmm. My parents came to New York as kids from Puerto Rico. And when I was 18 years old, it was the first time I lived in North Carolina. I got my undergraduate education at Duke.
Okay.
So I'm on the dark blue team. Apologies to any Tar Heels or Wolfpack or Pirates fans out there.
We learned to coexist. So tell us about what's really on the front burner now for Democracy NC. There's so many issues we've read recently about, for instance, the issue of the Russian interference in the election and the targeting of North Carolina as part of that interference. Is that something y'all are speaking up on, paying attention to?
That is one issue. And when we talk about Russian interference in particular, one of the things that's led me to think about it, and we've been thinking about it on staff, is our work is deeply invested in working in communities around the state. And what that means is we have to build trust. And what we see from attempts like what was cited in the indictment are attempts to sow mistrust in the American political process and in the election system. And some of our work is based on actually getting people to identify with the political process, not just from a party perspective, but from how it affects their lives. But there's also work that policymakers need to do to shore up that trust.
Are there any lessons to be learned from or any updates you can provide our listeners on what's going on with this Russian meddling in our election? Is there a stance y'all are taking? I mean, obviously, we think it's a bad idea that that's happening. We're urging federal prosecutors to go ahead and pursue this to the full extent. Is that sort of the stance y'all are taking?
Yeah, well, and I think our angle is focusing on the election administration perspective. One of the things we know, one component of, you know, the Russian interference was talking about voter fraud and talking about how, you know, there are all these people impersonating, promoting the myth of voter fraud. Exactly. And so what we want to get out there is that there are ways to make our elections more secure. They have to do with, you know, making sure our voting machines are up to date, making sure that, you know, we are thinking about our campaign finance practices in a thoughtful way, but that it's not necessarily focusing on these voter fraud cases, which, as we've seen in this state, work that Democracy North Carolina has done, that's not the way to go about doing it.
One of the excuses that's used for the voter suppression tactics that we often see from the folks on the far right is that, you know, the elections are rife with voter fraud and we need voter ID and all kinds of other restrictive laws to attack that supposed problem. We've heard rumors that indeed we might see even a constitutional amendment in the North Carolina General Assembly about voter ID. Can you provide us any kind of a update on where that debate stands?
Well, one of the things that we know about voter ID is not only that it doesn't address an issue that doesn't happen, right? These extremely rare instances of voter impersonation fraud, but also that it seems to target and really directly affect voters of color, older voters, younger voters. I think many of us who work in this space cite, I think with good reason, the Fourth Circuit's finding as to H589 in 2016, that
so-called monster voting law.
That's right. And that they're holding that the General Assembly acted with what they called almost surgical precision in targeting African-American voters.
The bottom line is that voter ID is not necessary, doesn't really accomplish anything other than to keep voting participation down.
That's right.
We would expect to see. Do you have any insights on or any expectations as to what will happen in 2018? Do you think this is going to rear its ugly head again?
It's hard to say. I mean, one thing that we know is that the legislature, unfortunately, has continued to be interested in pushing what we would consider to be bad ideas. Mm-hmm. So recently we've been doing a lot of work trying to push back against efforts to make our courts less representative, to change the way judges are selected. And thankfully, the NCGA went home until the short session, hopefully, without passing any legislation or without putting something on the ballot. But it's going to take mobilizing the public and educating the public to make sure that we can keep that up.
Yeah, I'm glad you raised that. The whole issue of gerrymandering, of course, has been, I think it's one small victory in the fight against gerrymandering that word now seems to have penetrated the public consciousness.
People sort
of know what that, at least know that it's bad. And that, when we've seen, obviously, North Carolina kind of lead the way in gerrymandering its legislative districts, its congressional districts. The courts have pushed back against some of it, but we're now at a point now where I guess we know what the electoral districts are going to be. But you mentioned the fact that now there's this push perhaps to gerrymander the judicial districts as well. And that's a fight that has erupted last year and really seems to be just underneath the surface, boiling just underneath the surface. Maybe say a little bit more about that. Do we have reason to expect maybe it will reemerge in May, that lawmakers will try that again?
There is a chance. I haven't been here long. One of the things I know from others is that it can be hard to predict what is going to happen on Jones Street.
Yeah.
And so I'm not taking anything for granted when it comes to that.
Let's talk a little bit more about what that would actually entail. I mean, right now, North Carolina elects its judges in a variety of districts that are admittedly have been around for a long time. However, what we understand is being proposed is the notion that we would completely redraw these districts. We would jumble up which judges are in which districts. As best as we can tell, with a result that we'd have fewer judges of color, more white Republican judges elected almost certainly, it would seem that this is very much along the lines of the same kind of gerrymandering we've seen in legislative districts.
This legislature has a really comprehensive track record over the last 7 years of drawing gerrymandered districts. There have been courts that have held these districts to be unlawful racial gerrymanders and unlawful partisan gerrymanders. I'm not expecting anything less from any judicial proposals.
What's your vision for how we get past this period of intense gerrymandering and big money dominated politics? Do you have sort of does DemNC, Democracy NC, have a vision of where they'd like to take North Carolina and its democracy, its elections, to have more voter participation, to get big money out of dominating everything?
I think you're right that it's important to have an affirmative vision. And the last few years, we and others have had to play defense a lot. But there was a time where groups like Democracy North Carolina were advancing things like same-day voter registration and public financing for judicial elections. And I think that gives us a framework for thinking about what is actually possible here. And I'll say that part of what that's going to involve is making sure that the public is in a position to hold our elected officials accountable, no matter what party they're a part of. So that if there is an environment, when there is an environment that's more receptive to these things, we can make sure that they actually happen.
Well, if folks want to learn more about the activities of your organization, maybe contribute, join in,
Absolutely.
Where should they go? Your website?
They can visit us at democracync.org and find us on Twitter @democracync.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. There's lots more to talk about. We'll do it next time.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.